Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Douglas.
Hey, Doug Mellard. I called you Doug Mellard. I called you me.
Why? Why did you do that?
I get confused easily. You know that. Hey, Doug Benson.
All right. Well, I didn't call you Douglas because I'm mad at you. I called you Douglas because I'm disappointed.
Oh, why is that?
No, that's just what usually comes after somebody calls one of us Douglas. Our guest today could be a Matt or a Matthew.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll get into it with him. He's Matt to me. I've never called him Matthew. Producer of this show and others. People know his voice and face, I guess, from Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo, whose wife was on last week. You see how this all ties together?
Ooh, yes, I do.
Let's go to work.
We've lost Doug.
It's only fitting that on the episode where our guest is a producer of this show, we just played the theme song. Somehow there's a version of it minus lyrics.
I just realized that. Yeah, as it was playing, I was like, this isn't the actual, this is some early mix, I guess, where there weren't lyrics yet.
Yeah, the instrumental.
Yeah, I had to improve the music before they even started with the lyrics.
it was a months long process.
He knew the lyrics were going to be complicated. Yeah, it was a long...
What? I found the real one. But you know what? I kind of like that. Do you want to leave that in? Because that's kind of funny.
I'd want to leave all of this in. This is this is podcasting gold right here.
Do you want to go to work again? Do you want to do that?
No, I don't. I think that everybody that listens to the show regularly probably enjoyed the version without the lyrics just to hear it.
Yeah.
And then the people who, this is maybe their first time they've listened to the show, will probably now be intrigued to hear what the lyrics are. Can you keep talking about the missing lyrics?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'll give them a little hint. The Wide World of Ducks is in there. But you know who's in there or in wherever he is and in our hearts? It's Matt Belknap. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Dougs. How's it going?
Hey.
Yeah, that's the first question is, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm in the Never Not Funny studio. We just finished doing an episode of that show, and now we're jumping into Zoom to talk Dougs.
Yeah, and I think people have caught on to this, but I would like to note that we do this over Zoom, but we don't do the typical, you know, video version where we can all see each other. We just play it more like a radio show, and it is audio only. And especially over on Doug Loves Movies, but also in this show, when I tell the guests that it's audio only, they always are surprised later to find out that they don't have to be on camera. Like they actually get like ready to be on camera.
And they're generally excited. Although every once in a while, someone will have gotten very like ready and clearly put in some time, put on a nice outfit. And we're like, oh, sorry, you didn't have to do all that.
Right.
Yeah, no,
I didn't do any of that. I
tell everybody ahead of time it's audio only, but you know, like that's only two words. So it's not really, I guess it doesn't jump out enough at some people. But thank you for being here to record this, because Ryan, who records the show quite often, is off having some sort of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what else have you got going on right now? Did the last few months slow down your workload, increase it, keep it the same?
I mean, it was I felt like it was busier for the first year to 14 months of lockdown, just because we were recording everything on Zoom, and that just made everything take longer. It's harder. You're actually, this show and Douglas Movies aren't really, actually, these are easier. These shows are easier on Zoom, to be honest, because especially Douglas Movies, you know, you don't have to find someone to record it in, you know, in Denver or something on a Thursday.
Right.
But Never Not Funny, it was very time consuming to do over Zoom, because we wanted everybody to, there's just a lot of requirements. We do video for that show, so that was like an extra hassle. But yeah, it's now that we're back in the studio, which we have been since June, it's been a little bit easier, a little bit nicer. My kids are now back in school, so that's now taken, that's a whole due dimension of stress, but things are good. I'm going to see the Rolling Stones tonight, so that's
what's on my
mind.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I've never seen them before, and some tickets dropped into my lap, so going down to the SoFi.
She got the tickets after the news of the loss of their beloved drummer.
Yes. I think they were in the works. I didn't pay for these tickets. Truth be told, I think it's okay to say this here. They sold out their first show at SoFi in seconds, and then they added a second show, and that one did not do the same thing. so they were looking to promote it a little bit and get the word out, and so Jimmy and I actually were both given tickets, and I've never been to that giant stadium. It's a new stadium down in Inglewood that I've never been to before, so I'm kind of excited to see this state of the art stadium. And I'm not a big enough fan to worry about how they will sound or how the experience will be without Charlie Watts. Like I said, not a huge fan.
Yeah, there's another guy in the band named Wood. Ed Wood.
Right, Ed Wood. He does all their music videos. He directs them. Yeah.
I want to get you more confused about the names of the people. I don't want to correct you.
But
to see Keith and Mick and just hear those songs in a stadium setting, a brand new stadium, I'm jealous of all of it, even though it's a kind of jealousy that's it feels good, you know. it feels like I'll be okay not doing that tonight.
You're not gonna sleep.
I'll be performing in the round as well this evening at a open air space in Hollywood. Oh, people would be like, oh, the Hollywood Bowl. No, by open air space, I mean, it's like, you know, a parking lot. But it's a nice venue called Supernova. That's what I can't believe I'm talking about it like anybody could go see it, because this episode won't be out until later tonight.
Right.
What's happening, Doug Mellard? What are we supposed to ask next?
What's it like being a Matt?
Yeah. Probably similar to being a Doug, perhaps. Although I would say I was born in the 70s, and so there are just like a shitload of Matts my age. And so like my entire life, everywhere I've gone, everywhere, every school I've been at, it's just been a lot of Matts everywhere. That never really bothered me. And maybe it's like sort of like a very informal community of people who kind of know, yeah, this is what it's like to be named Matt. I've been okay with it. I enjoy the name Matt. I do not like Matthew. don't enjoy that. Don't want to be called that. My grandmother called me that, so that was okay. I was allowing that for the
was
time.
That endearing was coming from her.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it could be worse, right? I mean, I kind of think I've been through the thing of trying to name. I have a son named Charlie, and I've been through the thing of trying to come up with a good boy's name for a human, and it's not easy. I feel like there's more variety with women than with men's names, unless you want to go weird, like River. Or something, go to the Phoenix family, like go that route, which I didn't want to do that. So I sympathize with my parents for sort of looking at the options and just going, well, I guess Matt's what's happening in 1974. Let's go with that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at a program like Friends,
two out of six.
Six actors, three of them are men, two of them are named Matt.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it was out there. It was in the ether. people were thinking about the name Matt.
How many Matts you think pop up when you just type in Matt on like IMDb?
Oh my God.
Like how many famous Matts do you think there are?
Oh man. I mean, that's a good question. Even with the Friends guys, that one of them is professionally a Matthew. So I think a lot of people go with the full Matthew for professional, like Matthew Modine, for example.
Walter Matthew.
Yep, of course. I don't know that there's that, that's what's weird is when I think about famous, like actors, there aren't like tons of other than those two Friends guys and Matthew Modine. Like, who are some other Matts?
Matt Damon.
Okay. Matt Damon.
Yeah, he's my age or a couple years older.
There's Matt. What's his name? That guy that's pretty. Matt Bomer.
Matt Bomer. Oh yeah.
Matt Bomer. Bomer.
Yeah. Who was that? I know that name.
Yeah, there's also
all right.
Matt Imodio, the current,
sure,
the recent Jeopardy champ.
Yeah, Matt Bronger, but we have friends. Yeah, of ours.
We know Matt. Matt
Walsh.
Yeah,
he's in movies.
Yeah, it's a popular name, I think.
Yeah,
McConaughey and Broderick.
Yep, there you go. So those are Matthews. Yeah, see, I feel like that's the more common.
Yeah, Matthew. Thing. Yeah, Matt, so yeah.
Yeah, I feel like both those guys might really just kind of expect people to call them Matthew. They both seem theatrical enough that that's what they would want.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I never thought about it before, but if you didn't know Matthew McConaughey's name, would you think that he was not only a Matthew, but wanted to be called Matthew? Because that doesn't really fit his laid back persona.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I wonder if anybody's ever gotten away with calling him Matty. I feel like he'd get, I feel like he'd call somebody out on that. Like, that'd be way too informal.
Hey, man, I don't want to be uncool, but you got to call me Matthew. he's going to be chill about it, but he's not going to allow it. Like, it's not going to slide.
Well, I think it's a real alpha move to call him Matt. Like, I think he's called Matthew, and I think he likes it. Cause I think there's like a formalness about him.
Yeah. Funny. Is it Texas thing? Is it something about Texas being a little
more and manners and being polite and being, right.
Well, now he's now he might run for governor. Like, if you're a governor, you have to be Matthew. You can't be Matt.
Governor Matty.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's where, like, that's his biggest line of argument against Beto is that shouldn't be the name of a person.
that's a fair point. You know what? I'm listening. If that's your argument, I am listening.
That's the whole debate. Just the rest of the debate is, Matthew McConaughey's gone, but his dogs are sitting at the podium. All right. So, doormat, floor mat.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of other famous mats.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Matt Blank on Match Game, what would those be?
I think Damon,
what other kind of mats are there?
Yeah, I think Damon's probably going to be up there. He's at least, you know, been in a couple movies this year that are, you know, getting a lot of chatter. So he's on people's minds.
Matt Berry. I've just got into his music. The British actor.
Huh, I don't know that.
Who's Matt? Snow Fox. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's real good.
Okay.
Yeah, well, once you get into like European British, I think Matthew's very popular.
Right.
Yeah.
Popular French name.
Mm-hmm.
Popular British names. Then you're really getting into the weeds there when you the when British you open up the door to Matthews. But even Matt's there's a Matt Smith who is a Doctor Who.
Yep.
And he's in this new Edgar Wright movie, Last Night in Soho.
Oh, cool.
Last Night in Soho.
did Edgar tell you that's how to pronounce it?
He told me that's the official pronunciation. He told me in a corridor, and I was like, why can't you just tell me in a hallway? And he's like, because I prefer to say corridor. Sounds better with his accent. All right, so let's talk Belknap for a second.
Okay. Happy to do it.
You're on trial here. How do you feel about with the walking around with that silent
K?
Silent K in there. Is how much of a burden has that been?
It's been a trial, I'll tell you that. It's not great. It's a lifelong it definitely feels like an albatross around my neck.
Elementary school must have been brutal with the miss. Kids could not write that, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's I think there's, I mean, I haven't really thought about it too much, like what the average is, but I would say is at least 70% of the people who try to say it pronounce the K in Belknap. So it always, you know, even at the age of 47, I'm still like slightly like, oh man, just I love when people get it right. Like it's a wonderful surprise when people just nail it first try. It's like, it's kind of shocking, but more often than not, it's like, eh. I mean, and you, I don't correct people. I just kind of,
yeah.
Cause what's the point? You know, it just like, that's sure. That works. That's fine. I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. But yeah, it's been a weird thing, and my whole family has had to deal with. And you know, on the one hand, I kind of feel like, how can you not understand that a K followed by an N is the K is silent? But on the other hand, it's right in the middle. So I also kind of sympathize with people who are just like, they don't know what to do with it. It's just strange to find a silent K in the middle of a word. Is there another example of that? I mean, I don't know if there's another word with a K in the middle that you don't pronounce.
That's a really good question.
Can't think of anything.
I mean, obviously, like at the beginning of a word like not.
Yeah, or knapsack.
Yeah.
Which is usually what I have to say to people when I'm explaining that they said my name wrong. If I do have to correct them, I say it's the K is silent, like knapsack.
What about the silent K in dirt nap?
Yeah, that's a stumper, Doug.
Yeah, I can't think of any silent K's in the middle of a word, but I'm sure there's got to be one we're just not thinking of. That's a tricky one.
It's also a weird name that, you know, it's not common. But then when I do sometimes look on the internet to see if there's other people named Belknap, and it's not as uncommon as I thought it was. Like I kind of grew up thinking that there was nobody else with this name. Otherwise maybe people would know how to say it, but yeah, they're out there. They're just, sometimes there's two P's at the end, just for strange. And then, there's another family, there's another name in England. Mostly people in England know this because there was a famous, soccer player named Harry Redknapp. So that's like Belknap, but with red instead of bell. So I guess I don't know if they're related to me or if they're like are the arch nemeses of my family that we have to fight them at some point. But yeah, I think England has a better time with the nap concept. That's where the name comes from. So they might be a little more used to it.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten used to, you know, Rafe Fiennes, so I guess they're ready for anything.
Yeah, Belknap is a pretty tame name to conquer when you look at some of the crazy, like, Welsh names, and just Welsh, the language in general is crazy, or Irish. Like,
for some reason, also, I think you probably don't have to correct people. Hey, other Doug, is it me, or is Matt Belknap, is the sound of his voice going up and down like he's in a slow-moving rocking chair?
Yeah, it's going a little, it's like getting soft here and there.
Hey, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, we're back, and I think we solved the technical issues that were making Matt Belknap's voice kind of come and go. Matt, how do you sound now?
I think well, you guys have to tell me, because I don't know if it's happening or not. But
Matt, how do you sound? How are you sounding?
I sound great to me, but I'm actually right here where I am, so that's not very helpful.
Yeah, I think you sound great from where I'm sitting. How does Doug Mellard feel?
You sound, it's good, but you sound like a baby squirrel now.
No. I didn't want that. That's terrible.
It's kind I was going to say earlier, some of the echoing sounds sound like kind of a baby squirrel. So,
dear Lord.
Are you sure you don't have one there?
I can never be 100% sure of that, but the answer is no for the moment.
Well, we were talking about the silent K that's just sitting there between Bell and Nap and Belknap, but it is truly part of the Nap, right? It's not part of the Bell.
It's part of the
it's
Nap.
Not like I a think, silent L, it's a silent N.
I think that's, you know what? You really just put your finger on the problem, Doug, is that when people start reading it, they think it's going to be like Belkin, you know, like the,
right.
They make like keyboards or something, or some software thing, some computer thing. So they start reading, they're like Belk, like they see the L and the K and they think it's Belk. They don't realize, oh, you got to keep going to that N, and then you're going to find out that K belongs to the N.
Yeah.
Quite a hyphen. Should I go with a hyphen, guys? Is it too late?
It's like some people say when they see that band, they go Slipknot.
Oh, you did it. You found a word with K in the middle.
I Whoa. Did.
Nice job.
It just came to me, you know.
Good job. That's
it also
helpful.
Really shouldn't count as a word though once it's a band name, you know.
True. But it's also a name. Like my name is a name. So it's like when it comes to names, anything goes, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
How do you feel about Matt Slipknot?
That, you know what? If I could turn back time, Doug, that could have been the answer to all my problems.
But it's too bad this show isn't, you know, You Bet Your Life, where they have the secret word and the duck comes down, you win. I don't know how much they give away in the new Jay Leno version. But I had actually written down the word albatross, and you did describe the K as being an albatross.
That's interesting, because as I said it, every time I say that, I don't know why that is a phrase, because that's a bird, right?
Yeah.
It's a big ass bird that I assume at some point in mythology was like hanging around somebody's neck for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta look up that. I gotta look that up. I want to know why that is.
It's one of those ones we use it all the time, and we don't know what it means. Plus, also, it could even be like that. It's two other words that just when you say them together sound like albatross.
Yeah,
and just over time, people just started saying albatross instead.
Maybe they're saying Albert Ross. It's like having Albert Ross around your neck. I don't know who that is, but.
Yeah, it's strange how these things develop, and like these things that were never true become like people think of it as being true. Think about that a lot around Columbus Day and how committed people are to the wrong Columbus story.
Yeah, that he discovered America.
Yeah,
that one.
Why are we called, if he discovered America, we would be called Columbusica. Instead, yeah. We're named after Amerigo Vespucci, and I don't know what the fuck he did, but I'm glad we're not Vespucci-ica.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I actually,
it's just so hard to say.
I think I always thought when I always heard the term albatross around your neck, I think I pictured more of like a snake or an eel or like something that would be bad to have around your neck. Not that it's not bad to have a giant bird around your neck, but it just doesn't seem very likely to happen.
I think it's more like anything that's like a real hassle, you wouldn't be able to get into most bars with this big bird hanging around your neck. Right. So that'd be a real albatross when you're trying to go out clubbing. I just remember when they did Monty Python Live at the Hollywood Bowl, John Cleese walked around in the crowd as like a hot dog salesman style vendor, but he kept screaming, albatross, get your albatross. And so I only knew the expression, that something could be an albatross around your neck. So like the fact he was walking around with that thing around his neck and he was selling albatross, I was just right. That's where I learned that it's a big bird.
I managed to see that movie as a kid and not absorb that same lesson, because I definitely saw it and I definitely did not know that it was a bird after the fact. So
still might not have even learned it there. I might have elsewhere. Just makes put sense, that yeah. together later.
I think the real problem is the albatross bird. It's the phrase is more famous than the bird. Like the bird needs a better PR. Rep,
yeah, to
like,
I kind of feel bad for the bird. Yeah, know?
It's like, a shitty thing to be known for.
Yeah,
I think the bird drags the two of you together into oblivion, is what happens. I think that's the thing about an albatross.
That's the myth. That's part of the myth.
The albatross doesn't push you down so that it can soar. It just goes down into the muck with you.
Right.
That's what I think. Again, I'm no expert on albatrosses.
I'm sorry they even came up, but I guess you did say it was the secret word, so maybe I'm glad it came up.
I think you should have a little fun with your name, and whenever given the opportunity to write it out and then hear somebody have to say it out loud, I would add not only that second P you spoke of earlier, but also an E.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a variant for sure.
That could still be Belknap, but then, a lot of people will end up going nappy on you.
Yeah. And that's fun.
Yeah. It's just fun to hear somebody say Belknappy.
I mean, people did. They called me that in school anyway, even without the extra P and the E. So, why not just make it official? Let's just, completely just keep going with those letters until...
Would they call you Belknappy? That doesn't even make sense.
I think it's just a fun, fun nickname.
It just sounds silly.
Yeah, just put the E sound at the end of anything, and it's kind of a fun nickname, like Dougie.
Yeah,
and not the last name. Benson.
What's that?
Benson-y though, or Melody? That's weird.
Yeah. No, see, that's the thing. This is a world we don't live in, Matt. You're special. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a good spin.
You can put a Y at the end of Belknap.
Yeah, I can put a Y wherever I want in my name. Maddie, Belknappy, maybe Belly Nappy. Maybe put two Ys.
Belly Nappy.
We don't have any of those perks. How did you...
You touched on the fact that your son is named Charlie.
Yep.
But how did you... I almost fell into the trap of saying Charles there. It's not Charles, it's Charlie.
Well, it is. It is officially Charles. We call him Charlie.
Okay, I see. See, that's the thing. Even in a setting like this where you're speaking... the subject of your kid came up and you still just referred to him as Charlie. So it's practically like his name is Charlie.
Yeah. But what you find out when you have kids and you start meeting other people's kids is that some people name their kid the nickname and not the full like name. And so if you say like, if you meet a Charlie and you go Charles, they're like, no, it's not Charles. It was never Charles. It doesn't say Charles on the birth certificate. You're an asshole for even implying such a thing. It's Charlie, and please obey our rules. So it's
Charlie's in charge.
Yeah, exactly. You're right that we just call him Charlie. So that's what I said. But like, I somehow felt the need to tell you that it is in fact Charles. Because it's always fun when a name can have three variants. So there's Charles and then there's Charlie, but then you got Chuck, you know, Chuck comes in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And, no, it never ends with some names, but, you know, cause then once you're into Chuck Town, you can add a Y to that.
Chucky.
And you got Chucky.
Yep. And that was ruined for about 20 to 30 years by a horror movie franchise, but still, It's available if you want it.
Which is coming back hot on Shudder. They're not advertising with me, but they should be.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about, we'll have Chucky on. He'd be a great guest on this show.
Very great idea. Love it.
Yeah, because is his name Charles?
I mean, that's a good question. Does he have those annoying parents that named him Chucky, or did they name him Charles and then it became Chucky?
You know, everybody's still talking about how Chuck E. Cheese, that his full name is Charles Entertainment Cheese. that's
how I refer to him because I respect
that's
him.
A hot topic.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that'll be fun. Like you said, all those different variations are fun to have in that name. I always wonder about the differences in terms of like people just growing up with a name that, you know, you can't play with like that. Like, is that, you know, does it kind of help your son to sort of develop an interesting personality that he's not given, you know, one specific label?
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, you guys, I guess people could call you Douglas or Dougie, but
yeah, they have variations, but they're all like kind of spring from people's imaginations. They're not like common. Charles, Charlie, mm-hmm. and Chuck are all just common names. Could have any of those names, you know, there's been plenty of famous people that are just Chuck. Like they're just going all the way to that, right. You know, what I'd say is third level nickname. For
it
does,
it's not the obvious choice. Yeah, I mean, when you think about like Chuck D, did anyone ever call him Charlie as a kid? Or like, you know, did he outgrow
Charles
Charlie?
D.
Charles D. Like, that's not quite as catchy. I sort of wonder, you know, I wonder if he will reach an age where he wants to not be Charlie anymore because it's a little bit like it sounds a little like a kid name. But then as we know, just from knowing lots of Jimmys and Johnnies and even some Tommies and some Timmies. I know some Timmies that sometimes people just keep it, even though it's somewhat ridiculous to have that name into adulthood.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's the right generation for it, but I think for some, maybe Charlie just doesn't have the right sheen right now.
Hey,
if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
He kind of did what he could to ruin the name.
You know, it's so funny. That did not occur to us when we were naming him that there was that connection, because there's a lot of
Charlie. That's what I'm saying. It's water under the bridge for, and it's a bridge never to be crossed by anyone your son's age or generation.
Right. He'll as long as you didn't give him the middle name Tiger Blood, I think you're good.
Oh shit! Well, bad news. It was just in the news at the time. I mean, how could we resist?
Well, let's get into it. Let the Doug's portion. Mm-hmm. Of the interrogation.
Yeah.
How many, if any, besides these two Dougs present here now, how many have you known in your life?
Well, there's one big one. My stepdad's name is Doug.
A stepdad named Doug. It's Doug is the perfect stepdad name.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like any script, my stepdad, Doug, is coming over. You're already like, OK, I get what he's about. He's probably a good guy, but there's still a chance that he's very much not.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that relationship has shaped my entire understanding and my entire sense and feeling about the name Doug, really. Doug Benson. Maybe the second Doug I really ever knew after my stepdad. Like, I don't know if I've known a lot of Dougs beyond you and him. So
it's something we hear every week on this show.
Yeah, it's not too common. Even though
people don't know
a
lot of Dougs.
People know the name. It's not like that. It's not foreign to anyone, but it certainly doesn't.
It's close enough to foreign. I find when I have to say it, especially through a mask now, is really extra difficult because you can't even begin to read your lips.
Right.
So they're just like, it just sounds like underneath of the mask when they say, you know, what should I put on your coffee order? It just sounds like I'm going,
I will tell you this, Matt, the name Matt is not easy either, because the T at the end, the T sound doesn't really cut through the noise of life a lot of times. And so
I would think a lot of Matts resort to Matthew in those situations. I've now decided I'm going to try saying Douglas in those situations.
Yeah, I think you should.
Because you might get a little closer to what you're striving for, but they still might be a little... That might be a little alien to people to hear just somebody going, my name is Douglas.
I actually have, I think it's probably because
some interesting spellings.
Well, you know what? They don't even have to, like, they can write, if they hear you say Douglas, they can write Doug and no one's going to be upset about it. They probably will. They might not realize they can do that. They might hesitate to take that leap, but it's because of the mask. It really just recently myself have realized I should just be telling people my name is Matthew, because when you say Matthew, they know what you mean. When you say Matt, they're like, Mac? It's like,
Matt?
Who's named Mac? There's like two Macs ever. So I don't know why they think it would be Mac, but anyway.
We're just going to belly nappy.
I should just start. Yeah, that's another way to go. I could just throw that out there. But yeah, it's also weird to, like, I know we're talking, this is the Doug segment, and I'll get back to my stepdad in a minute, because, you know, that's a deep dive. That's a real, there's some fertile soil there for sure. But when I say Matt Belknap, I think the T and then the P, no one knows what to do with either of those things. They like, does it rhyme? Does it not rhyme? Is it T at the end of the last name? Is it P at the end of the first? Is my name Map? Am I a map? just confusing. It's very confusing for people. So I think I am gonna now, in this late stage of my life, just to become a Matthew to alleviate some of the stress.
Yeah, I think we've both reached a crossroads here. Doug, are you going to join us on this journey? Are you going to call yourself Douglas when somebody asks for your name?
I have actually done that for that same reason, because it's like I'm getting a coffee. It doesn't matter what they call me. We're not going to talk after this. It's fine.
Well, that's why I think I'm saying a fake name, or I often just throw my girlfriend's name out there, you know, because
if she's there, you know, one of us, doesn't matter which one, they yell out, you know?
Right.
But yeah, cause it's just, but especially with the mask, but it was bad without the mask. I had that problem already. So especially like any loud music situation or, you know, just a loud party. Like, I just hate having, you know, I don't care if you already don't know me at all and we're meeting at a party. It's not going to matter what my name was, you know, so you don't have to ask three times, you know, for something that's disposable information anyway.
I'm honestly a little surprised to hear that Doug is that difficult to communicate to a stranger, because it just, to me, it seems like a dream. Like, it's like Doug, it's like Doug. Like, there's just a lot of strong, there's just Doug. Like, it's just so, it just seems like, how could you fuck that up? It's just like anybody.
There's too much in the middle. And it just kind of like the theme song for Doug Loves Movies, the way it just goes, Doug hates, like, once you get to Ugg, then you start to have to, you have to recalibrate and try to figure out what the first part was. It's just that, that the Ugg is what really registers, you know? Right. So that's why we get a lot of, Greg, Craig.
Oh, you do.
You know, Mark, you know, whatever. Right. Like, it's just wild, the different, you know, that's the other thing, is there's no consistent wrong answer when they come back with something, except for when it's written down, then it's D-O-U-G-H, is happens all the time.
What? Oh my God. What is wrong with the world?
We didn't, English wasn't the language that everybody decided to use. Yeah. So,
as we talked about this, I realized that the number one time I have problems with conveying my own name to a person is on the phone ordering pizza or something, you know, like when you're just trying to say, and like, can I get a name for the order? Matt. And they're just like, you know, that's when Mac comes up, or I don't know what else they think it is, but it's just somehow they can never. And I also, I've started to wonder if it's cultural, like it just, certain cultures don't have a Matt in so I'm actually starting to think about maybe just using Mateo, which is kind of the Spanish form of Matt, just so that people will know what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's no Spanish Doug either. We've been remarked before how sad we are about that.
What was the closest, like, did you take Spanish growing up in school, and did your teacher give you a name?
Yeah, it was, in my case, it was they went with my middle name, Steven. So he would make me be referred to as Esteban.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't remember. So
from day one, I was just like checked out mentally, because every time he'd say Esteban, I wouldn't respond right away.
Right.
And there'd be this like weird pause where I have to realize it was me. But I don't have that excuse for failing French and German. Our last guests on the show, Danielle and Christine from How to Survive with Danielle and Christine.
Yeah.
They think that we have to get Doug Emhoff's kids' attention in order to try to get him to be a guest on this podcast.
I agree. Yeah. There's one of the daughters is very active apparently on Instagram or something. And so maybe you can catch her eye at some point somehow, because you know Emhoff himself is probably not looking around, he's not scrolling Instagram necessarily, but that's the brass ring now. I mean, kind of it came out of nowhere, because this show, did you guys know of Doug Emhoff when the show started?
We did, and we discussed how he was, you know, just what was Kamala before vice president. She was a senator. So he was the first senator lady man, whatever they call that.
Right. That's exactly what they call it.
Yeah. But then we got to, pretty much go through the whole process of the, once
Biden was elected, that was very exciting that we had a Doug. And, you know, they like to say that he's in the White House, but I think the vice president's spouse probably sets foot in the White House maybe 12 times a year.
At most, yeah.
Yeah. But still, we're just excited about him. And he, like, you know, there's no nothing's, I'm sure there's plenty of people trying to dig stuff up on the guy, and he just seems like just a good dude to you know, is super into his wife and doesn't mind the position, you know, isn't embarrassed to be second gentleman, whatever they call it. But we want him on Wide World of Ducks. We think that that would be the, right now, he is the probably the top Doug in the world.
You would have to say so. Yeah, I mean, who was the top before him? Even, I mean,
We would debate that. Like, you know, first of all, do you go living or dead? I guess if we just stay living, then fortunately that takes Douglas MacArthur out of it.
Right.
Like, can you imagine calling Douglas MacArthur Dougie?
No.
Dougals. Hey, Dougals. Who else? Well, but like, of the living, who did we decide? I mean, of our guests, we sort of decided that, you know, Dougie Doug is pretty amazing.
Up there. Yeah.
Dougie Fresh. For sure.
And then, of course, Dougie Fresh.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know who else would be top Doug right now. Doug Savant from Melrose Place.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That guy. Now that's a guy. Can we talk about guys who don't look like a Doug? That guy couldn't look less like a Doug to me.
You line up a bunch of Dougs and there's nothing
identifying. Okay. But
I guess that's true of any name really, but there's something about Doug, at least, maybe because unfortunately my perspective is it's that I'm named Doug. Yeah. But like when I go around, when I do meet a Doug, which has been stunningly few, just the other day I was in Denver, and first I canvassed Denver with, hey, you know, on my socials, are there any comedians in Denver named Doug? And I DM'd some comedians there, and nobody could come up with a comedian, even on the like open mic scene, who was named Doug in Denver. And then at my show, Comedy Works in downtown Denver, I said, is anyone here in the audience, you know, any audience member named Doug? And nobody applauded. Zero Dougs came to see me. So does that mean that people named Doug in the Denver area, but also other places I've played recently, they're just not interested in a comedian named Doug? Because I know, like, I'm not like a fan of any, you know, I like certain performers and comedians named Doug, but I'm not like, I don't stan any of them.
Right. The name alone is not drawing you to an artist.
Right. In this case, my own name, I'm not that drawn to. So maybe other Dougs have the same lack of interest in what Dougs are up to. Yeah. Or we just don't know. We just can't network enough because there's apparently so few of us at this point.
Right.
Gone extinct.
And that's Doug, by the way, that's where you and I are different, because I only listen to Dave Matthews Band because of his last name.
You thought that they were called Matthews Band, that it was a possessive apostrophe.
Yeah, there was a thing. There was another record in front of his record, and I was like, oh, Matthews Band. This is going to be great. This is like, they're literally saying, this is the band for Matthew.
They're your band, Matthew. You just have to keep calling yourself Matthew to make this whole thing work. You abandoned it.
Which we've already decided I'm doing so that I can be understood on telephones.
Yeah, on telephones, when you're ordering coffee. There's not a lot of places that want your name, but I still find it invasive. I also like having trouble checking into hotels now because they insist on hearing your last name through your mask. Mm-hmm. And like the B at the beginning of Benson could be four or five different consonants.
Right.
You know, Vincent, Winson, Dinson, Jensen.
Yeah. I never thought, this is I'm seeing the world through your eyes now, because having a weird last name, I've only ever lamented the fact that I have a weird last name that people don't know how to pronounce. But I was always jealous of people who have last names like Benson, where it's like, so it's so common and easy to understand. And how could you ever screw it up? But now I'm realizing you're right. It's there's a million ways to screw it up, even though it's very common.
Yeah. And it just, yeah, that's the thing is that there's just certain letters and sounds that people make. And especially when you take away watching the person say it.
Yeah.
The mask thing really, I'm also bad at hearing what people are saying.
Yeah.
I'd say the number one gag that's happening in movies and TV shows, dramas, commercials, reality, everywhere you fucking turn, you cannot get away from somebody saying somebody's name incorrectly, either mispronouncing it or saying the wrong name.
Mm-hmm.
Happens constantly. Like, I can't, it really bugs me, because in things that I like watching, they'll just do that because it's like a quick character note of like, oh, this person doesn't bother to learn names. But it's like, right, it just happens in everything. And sometimes it's the person being a dick, like intentionally saying the wrong name. And then a lot of times it's just a person that's like, can't be bothered with knowing names and just gets names wrong. And so writers of everything, stop it, is what I'm saying.
It's a lazy joke. It's lazy.
It is. And it's like somehow it gets by in like, I mean, there's things that I think are masterful that still have that joke in them, because everybody doesn't think about the big picture of like, well, everybody's doing this joke. You know, it's just like how, you know, there's certain songs that end up on the soundtrack of multiple movies.
Right.
And it's like those people that use it later, they're just really just, you know, kind of surfing, you know, they're just riding the wave of popularity and the good feelings people have for that song, probably even in the context that they knew it before. You know, like that song that Tom Cruise dances to in Risky Business. It was an amazing, excellent choice in Risky Business. There weren't 100 things where somebody danced to that song.
Right.
And then ever since Risky Business, now that song, you hear those notes and, you know, it happens all the time, but it's always just to get you to think about Risky Business and have a positive.
Yeah.
It became a cliche, and it's no longer special or even good, but it triggers the response that filmmaker wants to trigger.
And it happens so fast now, because especially with commercials, they'll just grab a song the second they hear it. That's like, you know, as long as they can get the rights to it, like that, How You Like Me Now song. Like that's another one where when there's something that's got some sort of phrase that's going to work well at sporting events,
right,
then that song will catch on at sporting events and then just catch on in lots of other ways just because sports are so prevalent in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It even bummed me out when, like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy had a good soundtrack, but it bummed me out that they used Stuck in the Middle with You, because it's like, that's the Reservoir Dogs song as far as I'm concerned. Like you can't trump that Reservoir Dogs scene. Like it's just always going to be that. I know probably a lot, like the vast majority of people seeing Guardians of the Galaxy probably haven't seen Reservoir Dogs, so that's why they can do that. But I just felt like, and I like James Gunn a lot, I felt like in as much as he made that choice, which he must have had some say in the matter, it's a you could do a little better than that.
Yeah, I mean, he might have just had it in his head that it, you know, went with that scene, and also it could even be specifically meant to be a tribute,
an homage,
you know, because I would imagine that Tarantino's got some influence on him.
And every once in a while there's a song that's worth reintroducing to the next generation too.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is there's always excuses.
And also I just like it's a function of being a certain age where you're like, I remember the first time a filmmaker made this song cool. Like, even though the song was 25 years old then, like, you know, when Tarantino used it.
Yeah,
But, you know, that's the thing is I do like when people just find something that's, and that's why I do like the majority of the soundtracks on not only the two Guardians movies, but just James Gunn movies in general.
Yeah.
Similarly, like Edgar Wright, there's a few people, Scorsese certainly did it a lot, where, you know, they really are clearly fans of music and just have such a vast knowledge of songs that they can just find things that are just so perfect for what they're doing. Tarantino also. Yeah. Okay. So we have a thing where we do five and five questions. We write five questions each for our guest and we don't share with each other what the questions are going to be. As producer of the show, you might be familiar with the fact that we often run out of time. We ran out of time last week with the Danielle and Christine. And so before we ask you your questions, we'd like to ask you if you would mind, if could you
eat some leftovers?
Hey, I just did that part. We're out of time, actually, but I just did that part. I just wanted to do that part because I wanted to ask you, Matt, I wanted to have a quick, production meeting that the listeners can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's best for Doug to come in there and say, eat some, did you say some, Doug?
Some leftovers?
Yeah. Eat some leftovers. Or do you think, eat, the expression, change it to our, like eat our leftovers or even maybe eat the leftovers. You think eat some leftovers?
I don't think you can top
the job done there.
Yeah. I don't think eat some leftovers is toppable, honestly. Like that's to me the best phrasing of that idea. And, I just don't think it's going to hit as hard if it's any other version of that.
Every time I hear it, I just think that it's like wishy-washy to say, because it's like the expressions eat your vegetables, not eat some vegetables. Like
that's true.
You're already compromising,
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Eat your leftovers still has the same punch.
Right. But the thing is, it's not their leftovers. It's the leftovers from the last guest.
Right.
So that's why waffles and went back to some because your doesn't sound right. Yeah. But then I was thinking a third option would be eat our leftovers. We'd like you to eat our leftovers. Like, so we have these leftovers and we want you to eat them.
I honestly just think
that if you like some, it's
some
okay.
Is funny. We'll to me, some is funny. Like I don't think eat our leftovers is as funny because it almost just makes you, I my brain maybe gets a little hung up on what the hell's going on? Eat some leftovers.
What about? And now we do run out of time, so like we never get through all the leftovers. So it does start to line up better.
Yeah.
So I think the matter is settled. I don't have my gavel nearby, but I would gavel. Oh wait, here's one. Hang on, I did find a gavel. All right, we're adjourned on that matter.
Great.
And thank you, Matt Belknap, for being a terrific guest.
Thanks for having me.
And working out those mid-show sound issues.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And thanks for saying my name correctly. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Have fun at the Stones, bro.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah. That's going to be one of those things where like, you're always be able to like, obviously get a few moments of it on your phone, but also try to, just enjoy being in the moment or whatever, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought you needed going to a Stone show advice.
I was actually just going to stand in a merch line for 3 hours, but I think what I'm going to do is what you
see, said. That's what I'm talking about. Now I really need to get into it. Don't get into a merch line.
Okay.
At least not one. You can't see the stage. Mm-hmm. There's often merch lines where you can be in the line and still watch the show. Those are the ones you want to find. Sometimes they're even the shorter lines.
That's a good
call. A lot of times they're longer because people can stand in them and watch the show.
The trouble
with any line while you're also at a show is that people, once they're in a line, they think they're in like, let's stand around and talk, even though the show's happening, mm-hmm. Right behind us,
Right.
So I kind of hate that. It's like, I hate having to hear what people are talking about while, mix singing or whatever.
Right. Just focus on the show itself, even though you're taking a moment to step aside and get a sweatshirt.
Is that what you're going to do? You think you're going to get a sweatshirt?
Well, I have a mission. My wife gave me the mission of getting my father-in-law a birthday present because he loves rock music. He's a boomer. He's from that generation. Loves the Stones, and his birthday's in a couple weeks. So it just seems like the perfect opportunity to get him a good birthday present. But it's a good question when I'm actually going to accomplish that without missing too much of the actual show.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of listed opening act?
There's no opening act mentioned anywhere. So they might just come right the hell out and do their thing. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Have you heard, like, because this isn't the first stop on the tour, right?
I don't believe it is. Yeah. But I haven't looked at any set list, or I haven't done any of the stuff. I like to just go in cold. Just hit me with what you got.
All right. Well, just but don't go in so cold that you get there and they're already out on stage.
Right. No, I know. I've been told the venue says it starts at 7:30. I will make sure I'm in my seat at that time.
Oh yeah. That sounds like, cause they probably have a couple of those really long where they, especially now that they got a young drummer, they probably have a lot of those long, you know, things where they all walk off stage and towel down and do whatever it is they do now instead of getting blowies, and then they come back out again. You know, so it's probably, they probably start at 7:30 and go to about 10. Plus, yeah, it's also probably pretty fun in that stadium. They probably have a really high tech way of, isn't there like a roof that closes on that thing?
I'm trying to remember.
Start open and then close. That'd or some be cool. shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
I'll let you know after tonight.
It should be exciting. Yeah, we'd love to postpone your appearance on the show till next time, and we'll talk to you about this concert then.
Sounds good. Yeah,
and maybe not have all the sound issues. But no, thanks for being here. And Doug, do you have anything you want to plug?
I'll be in Spokane with Dan Cummins tonight, Friday, the 15th through Sunday. Check it out. Come on out.
I got lots of dates coming up. The first one is Monday night. I'm going to be in Providence, Rhode Island, and I'll get Doug's. If there's any Doug's out there that want to come to the show, I'll get them in for free.
There you go.
And if there's any Doug's in the Providence area that do stand up or want to try stand up, I'll give you a couple of minutes on the show. But for all of my dates, go to douglovesmovies.com. And we didn't get to the questions about you, Matt, but one of the things I was going to talk about is that your involvement in a special thing, Records, that over the years has, done some of my albums and stuff. Mm-hmm. And why I was going to ask why a special thing as the name of the company.
It goes all the way back to you might remember the message board that I started 20 years ago, actually. It was originally a message board for Tenacious D discussion and fans of Tenacious D. And so we called it a special thing because of they have a song called Special Things. That is, if you remember the HBO series, J.R. Reed, Lee, the character Lee, becomes this he's a fan of Tenacious D, and then the joke is they start stalking him instead of having a fan stalk them. They're stalking the fan, and at the end they sort of work things out and they sing a song together called Special Things. And so being a place for fans of Tenacious D to gather, we thought a special thing would be a good name for the site. And the record label really just grew out of that website, because as you know, it just was over time became more of a place for LA alternative comedy people to gather and chat. And I started interviewing people, including you, I think, for the website. And then that sort of led into doing stuff, both podcast stuff with you and Jimmy, but also with just record stuff with, Ryan and I started the label just to capture what all the great stuff that was happening in the LA comedy scene that just wasn't really able to reach beyond the live club scene. You know, like we just thought there were so many talented people who we loved that, you know, you could only see them on a Tuesday night, you know, on Vine. So we thought if we could record them and, you know, put some of that out for the world to hear, it would be cool for people to hear it. So that, yeah. So it was really just, we were just lazy and kept the name from the website.
Well, that's why I asked specifically, because at the end of this show, every episode, we name the episode while also using it as a closing line. And so now hopefully it'll make sense to people what I've chosen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Douglas. As always, special Doug.
Got it.